Ever wish your AI could like do all the hard work?
Yeah.
Like, flying through a crazy asteroid field in space?
Oh, okay.
That's what we're looking at today. We've
Right.
got these developer notes and docs from this guy, Andy.
Okay.
He built this retro web game called Cosmic Voyager. But get this, it has an AI twist.
Interesting. Well, what's cool is that Andy didn't just stop at making a fun game.
Right?
He went and built an AI that can actually learn to play it.
Wow.
Blends classic game design with cutting-edge AI. Super neat.
Right, so the game itself,
Yeah.
Cosmic Voyager, these notes say it has a kind of retro vibe, like
Yeah.
those old Atari games.
Exactly. Simple but really engaging. You control this astronaut dodging all these obstacles. Asteroids, planets, supernovas, even black holes, each with their own crazy movement patterns.
Tricky.
Gotta survive as long as you
Let's
can.
rack up that high score.
Exactly.
And it's all built with those core web technologies, right? HTML, CSS, JavaScript.
That's right. You got it.
No fancy game engines.
Nope. Shows how powerful those basic web technologies are,
Yeah.
even for building games. Andy's notes mention he focused on making the design super responsive.
Okay.
So you can play it smoothly on your computer or phone.
Nice.
Yep.
40 hours to build the whole game. That's
It's pretty
wild.
fast, right?
Did he say anything about using those generative AI tools?
He did. He used ChatGPT and DALL-E 3 quite a bit.
Oh, really?
ChatGPT, huge help for brainstorming,
Yeah.
generating code, even troubleshooting bugs.
Wow.
And DALL-E 3, that helped him create some of the visuals,
Okay.
like the astronaut character and those awesome-looking asteroids.
So he basically had an AI assistant helping him design and code.
It was pretty amazing. But the important thing is, these AI tools were more like powerful assistants,
Yeah.
not like actual game developers.
Yeah.
Andy's notes say he still had to make design choices and solve problems.
That makes sense. So the human developer is still steering the ship.
Exactly. Now, the game itself is cool. Yeah.
But the real star here is the AI player.
Okay.
To get how that works, we need to jump into deep reinforcement learning.
DRL. I've heard that, but I'm still kind of fuzzy on what it actually is.
Sure. Imagine teaching a dog a trick.
Right?
You give treats for doing it right,
Mm-hmm.
maybe a little no when it messes up.
Yeah.
The dog learns what to do to get treats and avoid trouble.
Makes sense.
Deep reinforcement learning is similar, but we're training an AI agent instead of a dog.
So Andy's AI is learning by trial and error, just like a dog.
Exactly. Instead of treats and scolding, we use a reward system.
Okay, I'm interested.
How's that work in Cosmic Voyager?
Andy set it up so the AI gets a positive reward for every second the astronaut survives. High score also gets rewards.
Okay.
But if the astronaut crashes, bam, negative reward.
Got it.
This feedback loop of rewards and penalties shapes how the AI learns.
Learning to avoid those cosmic collisions the hard way.
You got it. The tricky part was letting the AI actually interact with the game.
Right, because it's a web game in a browser.
Yeah.
So how does an AI even play a web game? Like tiny mouse and keyboard?
No. Andy used a tool called Selenium.
Okay.
Selenium is amazing. It can automate stuff in a web browser.
Okay.
Click, filling forms, and even controlling the astronaut in Cosmic Voyager.
So the AI is controlling the astronaut just like a human would.
Exactly. But through code, yeah.
Wow. So to decide how to move, the AI needs to see the game,
Right.
right?
Just like us.
So how does it do that?
Andy used OpenCV for that. It's a library for computer vision.
Hold on, so the AI is looking at the screen.
Think of it like taking snapshots. OpenCV grabs screenshots of the game as it's played.
And those are the AI's input.
Exactly. That's how it sees the astronaut, the obstacles, everything.
Wild. But seeing is one thing, understanding is another, right?
Right. How does it go from looking at those snapshots to
Yeah.
making decisions?
Yeah.
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay, so we've got this AI. And it can actually see the game, OpenCV, right?
Right, yeah.
But how does it go from seeing to understanding and actually making like smart moves in Cosmic Voyager?
Good question. Those screenshots we talked about, they're just images, pixels.
Yeah.
The AI needs to interpret that visual information and turn it into something it can use to make decisions.
So it's like translating those images into some AI language.
Exactly. Andy pre-processed those images, like taking those colorful snapshots and turning them into a simpler black and white sketch,
Okay.
a sketch that highlights the important stuff. The astronaut, the obstacles, where they are, and how they're moving.
Simplifying it so the AI can get it.
Exactly. And for all that number crunching, pixel values, rewards, all the other data, Andy used a library called NumPy.
NumPy.
Yeah, it's like the math backbone for machine learning.
Okay, so the AI is seeing the game, those images are being pre-processed, and there's all this numerical data, then what? How does it learn to play?
This is where the deep learning comes in. Andy used an algorithm called proximal policy optimization, PPO.
PPO. Yeah, I remember that from before. Why was PPO a good fit for this?
Well, PPO is good at handling complex environments with continuous action spaces. The astronaut's not just doing move left, move right.
Right.
It can move smoothly in any direction.
Ah, I see. So PPO can handle all the nuance of movement in Cosmic Voyager.
Exactly. Training takes time and power, of course.
Right.
Andy used his own computer's graphics card, an NVIDIA RTX 3060, to make it faster.
No massive supercomputer needed. That's impressive. But I bet there were some challenges along the way.
Oh, for sure. One of the biggest was interrupted training sessions. Imagine you're training and your computer crashes.
Oh, no. All that progress, gone.
Exactly. Andy made sure to save the model's progress regularly, like save points in a game so you can pick up where you left off.
Smart move. Mm-hmm. What other challenges were there?
One of the trickiest parts is figuring out the right hyperparameters.
Hyper what now?
Hyperparameters. Don't worry, it's not as complicated as it sounds.
Yeah.
Think of them like settings that control how the AI learns. Like fine-tuning a race car engine, you need the right settings for best performance.
So Andy had to experiment, find the sweet spot for his AI.
Exactly. To manage the training, monitor performance, see the results, he used PyTorch, Stable Baselines 3, and WANBI.
A whole AI toolkit.
Yeah. So after all that, he had an AI that could actually play Cosmic Voyager. Like, navigate, score points, the whole thing.
Awesome. But there's still that missing link, right? Connecting the trained model to the actual game.
Right. That's where the inference API comes in.
The inference API?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like the bridge between the AI's brain and the game itself. How does it work?
Imagine you're playing and you're about to make a move. The game needs to know what the AI would do, right?
Yeah.
That's where the API comes in. It relays information between the game and the AI model.
A translator.
Yeah.
Helping them communicate.
Exactly. It takes the current game state, basically, that screenshot from OpenCV, and sends it to the AI for analysis.
Okay.
The AI model does its thing, predicts the best move.
And then it sends that move back to the game.
Yes. Constant communication, back and forth, so the AI can play in real time.
Wow. Did Andy have to create some brand new tech to build this API?
He didn't have to reinvent the wheel, but he used FastAPI, which is known for speed and efficiency. It powers that communication system.
FastAPI. Okay. I'm keeping up with these acronyms. How does the data actually flow between the game, the API, and the model?
Lots of data flying around. It has to be smooth and fast. First, the game captures the current state, that screenshot.
Like a snapshot of the action?
Yeah, but that's just a raw image file. To send it over the internet, it's encoded as a Base64 string.
Base64. Remind me what that is again?
It's a way to represent binary data, like our image, using characters that can be sent easily over the internet, like turning a picture into code.
Ah, right. Okay. So the game sends this Base64 code to the API.
Yes. The API, powered by FastAPI, gets that data, decodes it back into an image, and pre-processes it.
Okay.
Resizing, grayscale, getting it ready for the AI.
Prepping the ingredients.
Exactly. And then the API sends that pre-processed data to the AI model.
And the AI, like a pro gamer, looks at that and figures out the best move.
Yes. It analyzes the situation, predicts the best action for survival and scoring points.
And then it sends that decision back to the game.
Right. But it doesn't just send a raw command. It packages that prediction in JSON format.
JSON. That's a standard way to exchange data, right?
Yeah. Structured data that both the API and the game can understand.
So the game gets that JSON response, figures it out, and moves the astronaut accordingly. And this whole cycle just keeps going.
That's it. But building this isn't always easy. What if the game sends a bad image to the API?
Oh, right. Things can go wrong.
Exactly. Andy built an error handling, a safety net so the system doesn't crash if something unexpected happens.
Smart. The API isn't just talking to the AI, though, is it? It has to serve the web game, too, right?
Good point. The API also serves the static files, the HTML, CSS, JavaScript for the game.
Okay.
So the whole app, game, and AI backend can be hosted from one place, which makes deployment simpler.
Ah, I see. What about that CoreOS thing? Why is that important for the API?
Right. CoreOS cross-origin resource sharing. It's a browser security thing.
Okay.
It controls how websites from different places can interact.
Yeah.
Here, the game's front end might be on a different domain than the API.
Right.
It needs to talk to the API without security issues.
So Core is like a bouncer, making sure the right requests get through.
Exactly. Andy made sure the game and API could talk smoothly.
So we got the game, the AI training, the API. How did Andy put it all together and get it out there for people to play?
That's next.
Okay, so we've seen the game, the AI, the API. How did Andy get this whole thing working for everyone to play?
For deployment, he went with Hugging Face Spaces. It's gotten really popular for hosting machine learning stuff.
Hugging Face, isn't that the company with all those, like, AI models that write text and create images?
That's them. But they also have this platform, Spaces, where you can put your AI projects online and share them easily.
Okay, cool. But I'm picturing Andy just uploading some files and hitting deploy. Is this really that simple?
He made it look easy. There's some smart stuff going on behind the scenes. To make sure it runs smoothly on Hugging Face, Andy used Docker to containerize everything.
Docker? Containerize.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like we're shipping the AI off in a cargo container.
Huh. Yeah, good analogy. A Docker container is like a package that includes all the code, libraries, everything the app needs to run, all in a neat little box you can move around and deploy anywhere.
A portable environment. So it runs the same no matter where it's hosted.
Exactly. This container approach is very DevOps. It's all about making building, testing, and deploying software smoother.
DevOps, right? Another one of those buzzwords. So using Docker and Hugging Face Spaces, Andy's doing DevOps.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's another layer, MLOps. Like DevOps, but specifically for machine learning projects. Managing the whole life cycle of an AI model from training to deployment to monitoring and updating.
So DevOps for the app and MLOps for the AI model.
Mm.
Sounds like Andy's using all the best practices.
He is. And the result. A public web app on Hugging Face Spaces where anyone can play Cosmic Voyager and see the AI in action.
That whole process.
Yeah.
The game. The AI, the API, containerizing it, deploying it. How long did it take, Andy?
That's the cool part. Those generative AI tools really sped things up.
Uh-huh.
With ChatGPT, Dell E3, and other tools, he got it all done in about 4 weeks of work.
4 weeks? That's amazing. Those AI tools were game changers, huh?
For sure. But here's the thing. While they're super powerful and can speed up development, they don't replace us.
Like the human element.
Yeah. Andy's notes say he still had to guide those tools, make design choices, and solve problems that the AI couldn't handle alone. Human ingenuity is still essential.
A collaboration, human and machine, each doing what they do best. So Andy's project is impressive, but did he mention anything that could be improved or optimized in Cosmic Voyager?
He did point out some performance issues, specifically with the AI. On his computer, with a powerful graphics card, the AI was super smooth. But on Hugging Face Spaces, it was a bit slower.
Makes sense. Cloud platforms usually have limits on processing power. Did he have any ideas for improving that?
Yeah, a couple. He thinks fine-tuning the AI model itself could help.
Making it even smarter.
Exactly. And the deployment environment matters too. He's thinking about other cloud platforms with more powerful GPUs or even setting up his own server. Give the AI more muscle to work with.
Like giving it its own gym. But what about those generalization issues he mentioned?
Right. He said the AI might be too focused on the exact setup it was trained on. Like the game area might look slightly different on different screens, and that could mess things up.
It's used to playing by one set of rules. Change them, and it stumbles.
Exactly. To fix this, he wants to train on a wider range of screen sizes and resolutions. Make the AI more adaptable and robust.
It's crazy how even a simple game like this shows us the challenges of AI.
It is. It's not just about building a fun game. It's a glimpse into the world of AI, its potential, and its limits.
So Andy's project shows how generative AI is changing things for developers, letting them create amazing apps so much faster. But it also shows that human skill and creativity are more important than ever.
Couldn't agree more. AI is powerful, but we're the ones who guide it and decide how it impacts the world.
What a great deep dive. And for everyone listening, if you want to try Cosmic Voyager yourself and go up against Andy's AI, we've got the link in the episode description. Let us know what you think.
Definitely.
This has been awesome. Can't wait to explore more cool tech and innovation next time. Until then, stay curious.